says that they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, Mother of Jesus, and also with his disciples. They all were together. They were united together. And although we can have a bit of a sort of idealistic view of the early church, because it wasn't a perfect church at all, but certainly at the beginning of Acts, we see a real sense of unity amongst those who were believers in the Lord Jesus. And that was the prelude to many things which unfolded in the book of Acts and the gospel going out into the world. But Daniel, if you could put the first slide up. I think this little psalm here is a beautiful little psalm. It is a very short one. It's only three verses. Let's just pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this psalm. Thank you, Lord, that we've been able to think on this theme of unity, Lord, which maybe is particularly relevant, O Lord, in this fragmented and fragmenting world we seem to be living in. But we thank you, Heavenly Father, there is a way, Lord, that you've revealed where we can come together, and that is in Christ. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray you might speak to us through this psalm, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So this psalm, again, it was a few years ago. I think it was pre-COVID when we were looking at the Psalms of Ascent, of which this is one. In fact, it's the 14th of 15. Group, very clearly defined group of 15 psalms within the book of Psalms. And as I think I mentioned last week, for me, and I think they are prophetic of the kingdom of God, which Jesus announced, which came in Jesus's ministry. But here in these Old Testament times, the Psalms of Ascent were sung by pilgrims who were ascending up to Jerusalem to go to the various feasts, such as Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, and perhaps other ones as well, but those three main ones, certainly up to Jerusalem, where there was the temple that had been built by King Solomon. In fact, it's very likely that that these psalms were actually sung at the dedication of the temple. And so Psalm 133 is one of these psalms of ascents, which is about unity. And I don't think any one of us likes disunity. I don't think we like conflict very much. Sometimes we do have to stand our ground. There's no point, and there's no question about that. We like it when there is unity, don't we? And as this psalm begins, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. And we'll come to that in just a moment. They're called Psalms of Ascent, because the pilgrims were going up to Jerusalem, which is about 2,575 meters above sea level. So it's always going up to Jerusalem. But in many ways, this psalm, I think, could be called a psalm of descent. Not because the pilgrims were going down or going home at this psalm, but this is the psalm in which God's blessing really comes upon the people. The word down or descend is found three times in this short psalm, and we'll be looking at that. I was talking about this psalm some years ago, so I'm actually going to quote myself because, oh, this isn't bad. This psalm is deep in its theology. It's high in its lofty aspirations. It's broad in its vision. And it's so wide that it reaches across generations and continues to touch people to this very day, 3,000 years after it was composed. It's a little psalm about a big God. A big God who longs for unity among his people. How good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down upon the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, running down on the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. A short psalm, so I can just read it in less than a minute. But a psalm, as we look at it, we will find truth and blessing. I've got 3 points, verses 1, 2, and 3. And the first one is that unity is both good and pleasant. Unity is good and pleasant. In the ESV, behold, how good and pleasant it is where brothers dwell together in unity. Unity is actually a beautiful thing. Unity in churches, unity in families, unity in a nation, even when it's not perfect, it is a beautiful thing. It's also a surprising thing, which is perhaps why the psalmist begins with the word, behold. Look at that. Pay attention to it. Take note. Perhaps learn from it. Unity is surprising because it is unusual. And of course, this is perhaps why Jesus prayed so fervently before he left this world for unity amongst his people, because then the world would take note. He prayed, may they be brought to complete unity, and then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. It talks in verse 1 about brothers. And sisters, you may just feel excluded, but you don't have to feel excluded at all. In the original context, it would in fact have been brothers, because it was the men who had to go up 3 times a year at the 3 key festivals of Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. But the brothers represented the covenant people of God. And of course, when we come to the church, as you may have noticed, and we know very well, it's not an all-male fellowship. We can well read this as how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Unity among God's covenant people is both good and it is also pleasant. It is good in the sense that when God created the world, he called it good. God saw that it was good. It was according to his design. If you like, it's spiritually fitting. It's how it's meant to be. And of course, we know the world's not like it's meant to be because of human sin. It's also good in the sense that God is good, and God is a moral being, so it's morally right. We have to realize also, as I pointed out last week, that unity is not uniformity. It's not everyone being the same. Thank the Lord, we're all different in many different ways. But this unity of which the psalm is speaking is something which is both good but also pleasant. Pleasant is an emotional word. Emotions are very important because we're emotional beings. So it's pleasant. It's lovely. It's delightful. It's pleasing to our senses and in our experience. And in fact, these two words of being both good and pleasant come up again in Psalm 147 in relation to our relationship with God. It says, "Praise the Lord, how good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting it is to praise him." And I think if we really understood this, we would have a lot more people in our churches this morning across the land. It's both good and pleasant. So verse 1 says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity." We're not just talking about an abstract idea. It's not just a nice idea, but it's about living together. Living together with whoever we rub shoulders with. Church community, families. And in fact, unity, I guess we could say, becomes a very easy thing when we don't really rub shoulders with anyone. That's where the challenge is, isn't it? And this is where attitudes are so important that we've also looked at. Attitudes like humility, which is a key one, because actually there's a proverb, I think it's Proverbs 16 or something, which says that only by pride comes contention. So when there's some sort of disunity, I'd say almost certainly somewhere along the line there's going to be some pride there. So anyway, we need to be humble. Gentleness, patience, and love, and so on. So, moving on, this little but amazing psalm gives us two little pictures to help us to understand the kind of unity the Bible is speaking about, which is really a unity under God, a unity under Christ, a unity under his blessing. The first picture is, and we can move on, I think, to the next one, slide, if that's okay, is the anointing of Aaron. The anointing of Aaron. It says in verse 2, "It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe." Down, down, down from above. Aaron was the brother of Moses, and he was the first high priest of Israel. He was a man who was specifically called of God. He was consecrated, and he was set apart to minister at the tabernacle in the wilderness. Of course, later on that became the temple, and there was a succession of high priests of the line of Aaron. Tells us in Leviticus that Moses poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. This anointing oil was an expensive and it was a fragrant perfume. The psalm tells us it was precious oil. It was simply the best available. It was poured down on his head. It ran down onto his beard and to the collar of that. And from that day, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. And so this unity is a gift from above. It's like Aaron being anointed. It's from the Spirit. It's a gift. Jesus himself was anointed by the Spirit. We know the story. He suffered on the cross. He was raised again to glory. And we're told that he became our great high priest. Aaron was a type of Jesus to come. It tells us in Hebrews, though he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And once made perfect, Jesus, our great high priest, became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be a high priest of the order of Melchizedek. There's quite a lot there about the change of the order of the priesthood from the order of Aaron to Melchizedek, but we'll leave that. We can see that Jesus was anointed by the Spirit, and on the day of Pentecost, all believers were anointed by the Spirit. We all have the gift of the Spirit. We all have an anointing from above. And John made that very clear in his first letter. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know the truth. Christ, who gives us his Spirit, is the source of our unity, the unity of which eye to eye on every point. But that is an opportunity to learn from one another. I don't know about you, but I feel the older I get, the less I know. Maybe, I don't know. Recognition that there is so much more to understand. And we want to press on because we're disciples and we are learners. But let's look now at the second picture and the next slide, please, Daniel. And so we've had this picture of the anointing of Aaron, but this second picture is of Dew, you know, dew that comes down early in the morning. And it's called the Dew of Hermon. It, unity, as if the Dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. Now, Hermon is a mountain in the very northern part of Israel, and is about 9,000 feet high, and is well known for its heavy dew. Dew which is refreshing. Dew which actually was essential because they had the rainy seasons, but very dry times between, and agriculture depended very much upon the dew. Dew that is a sign of God's covenant blessing. It was said to Joseph, "May the Lord bless his land with the precious dew from heaven above." Dew that is a sign of times of refreshing from the Lord that we are praying for in our church and believe there will be times of refreshing. So we have two pictures in this small psalm. Two pictures to help us to understand what unity is like. And I should have actually just said, just to backtrack a bit, of course, Hermon was in the northern part of Israel. And the Jews, as if the Dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, which was in southern area, the southern kingdom, and very much the spiritual center, obviously, of Israel as well. A kingdom that became divided. The Dew of Hermon does not literally fall on Zion, it's too far, but it's as if it, unity is as if it did. If you like, the two parts of kingdom being united through this blessing, covenant blessing that comes from above. So we have these two pictures. The first one focused upon an individual, the high priest, Aaron, the anointed high priest who prefigured Christ, who's our great high priest, the one that we come to, the one who gives us his spirit when we repent and believe. The second one focuses on the whole land from north to south. A covenant blessing and refreshing from the Lord. Prefiguring, I believe, a day when one day the glory of the Lord will cover the whole earth as the oceans cover the sea. Finally, the second part of verse 3, for it's there that the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. There's a bit of ambiguity about where the there is. Is it where there's unity? Is it Zion? Is it focus of Aaron, the high priest? Or perhaps it's all three. But this psalm points us to Christ. It teaches us about the importance of unity. We'll finish with these words from Francis of Assisi. Where there is discord, may we, God's help, bring harmony. Where there's error, may we bring truth. And where there is doubt, may we bring faith. And where there is despair, because we know there's much, may we bring hope, because we've come to know Christ himself. Amen.